Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Last meeting, so this is a stark contrast.
Many people would think that this was a pop tart, that it just popped up today, but this is a 15-year journey of people who have given their sacrifices, their life, their money. And so we're very fortunate, and you'll hear from people like Troy Rafferty, who's given $1 million, and Shirley Cronley, who's given hundreds of thousands, and David Baer, and Quint Studer, and all those. But for me, it's the Raymond Palmers, it's the Trey Bonners, it's the parents, it's the Tisha Rogers, who sold hot dogs and hamburgers to make sure that we were contributors.
So this was the city council meeting. This is when you had the discussion about the... Whether it's going to be called the Rafferty Center is still, I think, open, because the naming protocols for the city of Pensacola are a little bit more restrictive than just that. But what you've got is, you know, Troy Rafferty and others have donated an awful lot of money, about $3 million, to construct a second facility to play basketball in next to the May Center, the Theophilus May Center, over at Legion Field. And then the city is going to pay basically for the maintenance for this facility, or a certain amount of maintenance. Somewhere in the vicinity of like $40,000, $45,000 a year, maybe total. So you're talking, you know, maybe $4,000, $3,500 a month. And for as much as 50 or 60 years, if you add in all of the potential extensions. Most observers, I think, to this question think, well, look, if private individuals want to build the building and the city's got a limited liability of how much it's got to spend to maintain it, sweet. As the mayor says, you know, this is the kind of deal that mayors dream of. But not everybody was happy about it. We'll talk about that in just a second. But this is a Southern Youth Sports Association, CISA, which is the organization, I think, created by Lumen May decades ago. I could be wrong on my history about that, but I think that's correct. Based on him seeing there being a need to do that. And it is, by all accounts, one of the most interesting, beneficial, useful, like a basically just a good organization. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to talk with you about this a little bit. Commissioner Lumen May, this, of course, in his non-commissioner hat, really, talking to city council about this.
I would like for the people that are here that are supporting SYSA to please sit up. They're from all walks of life, red, yellow, black, and white. There's a whole group of people. When people say there's not access, this is the access to the community. They look like all of us. And these are the people that are supporting from each of your districts that care about our children. And if it wasn't important to this community, you wouldn't have this type of support. So I believe that we're doing the right thing.
And yes, in case you cannot tell, packed house, absolutely packed out house. And the reason it was packed is because on the Monday agenda review, a couple of folks, particularly Jen Burr and Charles Baer, the dynamic duo of nearly rhyming names, had asked some questions, pointed questions about this project. And there were opponents, by the way. That's what makes this, to me, what makes it interesting is partially the opposition and partially just learning more about CISA, which I'll be honest, you know, I've been doing this for 11 years. I knew vaguely. In fact, my son had participated in basketball when he was much younger. So I was, you know, not with CISA, but with another organization that played games against some of the CISA teams. And so I was familiar, but I think I learned a lot in this conversation, and I wanted to share with you because, you know, you may not know. And if you do already, fantastic. You won't mind a little promotion, but if you don't, then it should be interesting. So Charles Baer, City Councilman Charles Baer, there are two city council members who are the most, question-oriented, critical, tend to dispute if there's anybody going to dispute. It's not quite like it has been in the past when you had, other people on city council. But Charles and Jen are the ones who are, if anybody's going to argue, they're the ones who are going to argue. I'll put it that way. And I mean, that's not a criticism. That's just I mean, I think even they would agree with that. They think their criticisms or their questions are fair, and I think some, you know, sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. That's okay. Charles Baer asks,
about our city, there are different fee levels for athletics, and I'm just wondering, do you all provide scholarships or assistance to people that cannot pay the standard fees you all would charge?
I will tell you that when, you know, and actually I was talking to a council person of yours and what our fees, what we do is we want personal responsibility. We want people to acknowledge exactly what it does cost. But we've never denied a kid.
And I like that attitude because what he's saying is, you know, we're not just going to hand out money for free. We want a kind of a partnership with the kids, as I understand it. And, you know, if they have trouble paying, well, we're going to find a way to make it work. But we're also not going to just, you know, donate a bunch of money. We want them to understand how the world works and that you don't just get a bunch of things for free all the time, which is a wonderful alternative to the mindset that some people have, typically through government programs, of let's just give people everything for free and then they don't really appreciate the things that they have received.
Not one time has a child ever been denied an opportunity to participate in our program because of funding. Okay. We figure out how to do it. And so what we don't do is we don't let children recognize that it's not equity or sweat equity that provides this funding. We let them work hard and realize that somebody's making it possible for you to participate in this sport.
It sounds, I mean, it's not the same, but it sounds vaguely like the philosophy behind Habitat, right? Where the people have an investment, the people have time or what they call sweat equity. And I love that idea of not just giving something to the kids, but helping them participate in ownership of it and earning of it and understanding the value of it. And by every account that I can tell, this organization does fantastic work at mentoring kids, keeping them out of trouble, giving them an alternative to basically going into a criminal life. Okay, a lot of these kids come from very poor areas, Addicts Court, Morris Court, and those kind of places, places that have historically been very challenging to grow good citizens out of. And they are finding kids in these areas and growing good citizens out of them. That's just fantastic.
Start every practice with a prayer. We require our kids to turn in their focus and their report card and maintain their grades. If they don't maintain a certain GPA, they're not allowed to play, but we don't kick them out because too many kids have been ostracized, criticized, and kicked out just because they didn't achieve a grade. What we do is help them to achieve the grade that they want to achieve. And so we don't kick children out because they don't have play.
And so the idea there is, you know, don't remove them from the program. Take away a privilege, make their privilege contingent upon their behavior, but don't lose them from the program because that's just sending them back to where they came from, which is not going to help them and not going to help anybody. I love it. I only knew a little about CISA, but everything I learned in this night was very, very, very positive. Now, the controversy was that you had some people in the area who were concerned about, well, if we're going to build a second community center, we already don't have very good use of that first center, the May Center. It's used mostly for basketball, even though there's a library in there. It's used mostly, almost exclusively for basketball. And look, if the city is going to provide anything, a community center should get public use, not be devoted primarily to one entity. Now, the kind of the answer to that is, well, you're still going to get like 30 hours a week of access. And is $3,000 a month a good deal for 30 hours a week of public access and basically during school hours, like 8 to 2 during the week? And a benefit to the community of having expanded capacity to enroll kids into these basketball programs? And the answer to me is, yeah. That's why D.C. says it's a deal that, you know, any mayor would be thrilled to have. On the other hand, you had, as I said, some people who showed up and were critical both of that long-term plan. And also you had Jen Brer, who basically wound up being the only person who voted against this because of similar kinds of concerns about the money, about whether it makes sense to invest in something like this with city dollars, where you even, you know, the question of prayer had kind of come up. And she says, look, I got burned. I basically got elected on people being upset about something like this.
I am a person who's got the Vickery Center within my district. I was elected probably on the premise of the irritation of the neighbors in that area that the Vickery Center was handed over to the YMCA. That was a big problem. I probably get calls maybe twice a week is probably the average. from residents complaining that they can't get in there during. And that's of a center that is open every single evening to the public. It runs public basketball, public volleyball, and has an open room for weights and such. So it does have public access, but it still is very troublesome for the neighborhoods.
Meaning the people in the area. And I remember when this deal went down, when the YMCA on Langley closed, got torn down, and they moved their operations to within the Vickery Center. People were concerned about loss of access to the Vickery Center. And she's saying, I still get calls about that, and I largely got elected on the basis of frustration over that deal. To me, this is very different. The May Center has a deal with CISA where they get the primary use. Okay, but the CISA does fantastic work. This is the building of a new facility that happens to be on city land, and it's a nominal, like, $10 a year lease. They're not trying to make money on the lease. And the city's going to retain about 30 hours of access to it, but the building of the thing itself is paid for by private individuals. That's not a city community center. That just, I mean, it's a CISA facility that happens to be on city land that's going to be partially maintained by the city and then partially have access to it. And again, to me, the question is, compared to getting nothing, is it worth it to spend $35,000 or $4,000 a month in order to get 30 hours of access and to make it possible to have a facility that's going to dramatically increase the capacity of CISA to do its work? And to me, that answer is really, really easy. But again, Jen Brer was raising questions about this and, again, wound up being the only no vote on the project.
There is not, there are no other centers in this town. None. Vickery, Fricker, Cobb, Gold Point, none of them have a dedicated fund for repairs. This will be the only one with dedicated money going every single year. And in my own centers, I can't get windows fixed. I can't get things fixed because there is no money there.
And that's an understandable objection. We have this problem with ongoing maintenance for existing facilities. That's been one of the mayor's rallying calls. But again, think of it this way. The same mayor who has been saying, we got to think about maintenance costs, we got to think about maintenance costs, looks at this deal and says, look, over the course of the next 50 years, in today dollars, this is going to cost us maybe $800,000, and we don't have to pay it all now. I mean, total, if you do it again in today's dollars, because the fixed amount is stays over 50 years, this is a good deal. And it's doing exactly the kind of things that we want for exactly the kind of kids that we are all ongoing have an interest in helping. The most disadvantaged, who come from the most troubled homes, who want to, you know, be doing something other than hanging out with criminals in their, you know, poor areas and learning mentorship and learning skills and getting academic help if they need it. All the stuff that comes from participating in youth sports. And finally, again, Jen Brer.
I understand, Mr. Rafferty, that this is money coming from you, but in the first 10 years of this, we'll pay $1 million towards it. In the course of the 46 years, we're looking at $4.6 million. And if we go the 66 years, then of course we've paid for this building more times over without regular public use. So that's my first concern.
Yeah, but again, the mayor responded with saying, look, these are not like any of these other deals, and this money in today's dollars is very light because it's over the course of time. Also, there was a concern by the citizens, sort of the neighborhood associations, that, again, this wouldn't be available to do things for other members of the public. Older folks, people who are, you know, not in school, it wouldn't be available for programming of events the way a community center would be. And they're right. It's not going to be at all hours of the day or all hours of the weekend, or particularly in the summer when basketball is so prevalent. I think I might have that wrong. Maybe it's the winter, but I thought they said in the summer. Anyway, but again, it's not a question of compared to your ideal situation, but given what is being spent by private individuals for a specific purpose, are you getting anything, and is what you're getting worth the money? And to me, the answer is it is obviously worth the money. So they went ahead and voted, and it was 6-1, and it was a big win, and there was massive cheering.
All right, motion passes 6-1.
And by the way, this is more of a, this is coming my first pass at this subject. This is a long, like hour and a half kind of conversation. Lots of people speaking. And I want to share it with you over the course of the next, kind of the rest of the show, some of the things that were said about CISA and why they're so successful. Because, again, I think this is a program that people who know, and people who don't know, it's good to know that something like this is going on in our community. 5:23 on news, and I have a funny story. John, make sure that we don't finish the day without me telling my favorite Lumen May story. Okay? That's your job. Your job is to make sure I tell my favorite Lumen May story.
Jeez, man, that's a lot of peer pressure.
No pressure at all.
No, it's peer
pressure. One thing. 5:24 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No, no, Mrs. Stay. Missy called Jaja Binks. Missy, your humble servant.
Good morning, 5:26, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. She only comes out at night. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The suspect who's facing charges in yesterday's attack in Boulder, Colorado, is reportedly an illegal alien from Egypt who overstayed his visa and shouted "Free Palestine" during the incident. Mohammed Solomon is in custody after allegedly setting victims on fire with a makeshift flamethrower. The attack left at least 8 people hurt. It happened during a gathering of individuals that were walking together to protest in solidarity with hostages held in Gaza by Hamas.
Yeah, their folks say they were not in any way protesting. They were just, you know, peacefully assembling to express solidarity with the hostages and wanting them all to be released. And yeah, flamethrower, Molotov cocktails, they were all elderly. They were all like 67 plus to 80 years old. So this monster uses an improvised flamethrower to attack people expressing solidarity with Jews or others who are in captivity. It's an unbelievable story. Go ahead, David. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Well, and the video yesterday was all over the place. Just looked terrible. The White House says new trade deal with China is on the way. Economic advisor Kevin Hassett says the team is laser focused on the talks. He expects President Trump to update the tariff plan this week. Trump recently accused China of breaking the deal and responded by doubling tariffs on steel and aluminum.
By the way, I believe the correct way to say that is that the Trump administration is laser focused on this deal, just so you know for future.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate that. The hurricane season is now officially underway. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says they are expecting between 13 and 19 named storms this year.
I love how you make it sound like it's a cruise. We're underway.
We're underway. We're rolling now.
Cruise director David will be keeping you entertained throughout the course of this extremely long holiday
season.
There could
be between 13 and 19 instances of turbulence during this flight.
Could there be fewer?
Well, there could be fewer.
Could there be more?
There could be more.
Right, very good. David, thanks so much for the updates. 5:28. News Radio 92.3. 9th Avenue's back open, just FYI. It reopened yesterday. It will be closed, apparently, again, briefly next weekend for some follow-up repairs. But, yeah, it's back open. So I don't know whether we need to tell people about that or not today. It's good news, and I'd, you know, people might be worried that it might be still closed after the that's at Carpenter Creek. You say Carpenter or Carpenters, John? Because I have heard it both ways.
Carpenters.
You say Carpenters? What is it in Milton? What park is that?
Carpenters Park.
Both Carpenters? Mm-hmm. I've heard both said the other way too.
Carpenter Park.
Carpenter Park.
I've never heard Carpenter that before. Creek.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think the Carpenters own it.
Well,
I don't think
there's
very many Carpenters in there.
Of Carpenters.
Oh, is it? The Carpenters Union and Trades of Milton,
right.
Florida?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Governor signed the cell phone bill. That means that it will soon, as in this fall, be illegal? I guess not illegal. But no cell phones. No cell phones used in school all day at the elementary and middle school age. And then high school, they're going to pick six counties and do a pilot program doing the same thing for those. We'll see how that turns out. I generally think, okay, and I know you probably disagree with me, a lot of you, but that's okay. I generally think that cell phones should probably just be illegal for anybody under the age of 16. That would probably, I mean, tell me the world would be worse. You can't really. And, you know, if you've ever seen what a kid with a cell phone looks like compared to a kid without a cell phone, because the kid with the cell phone is always on the cell phone, is always watching the videos, playing the games, doing what they do, right? That's what they look like. So when you're in the car on the trip, I mean, it's nice, they're quiet. But did you ever wonder if maybe, like, them being quiet wasn't necessarily a good thing for everybody?
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop with a piece of a solidarity march calling for the release of the Israeli hostages in Gaza shattered in Boulder, Colorado, with the FBI's labeling terrorism.
Police say 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Soliman from El Paso set people on fire with that makeshift flamethrower. DHS and ICE sources tell our Bill Malugin Soliman entered the U.S. in August 2022 with a non-immigrant visa. He was authorized to stay until February 2023, but he never left.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, AP. People suffering injuries. The 45-year-old suspect due in court at 1:30 p.m. local time, facing multiple felony charges. White House official tells Fox they had no heads up about a Ukrainian drone strike that destroys more than 40 Russian planes deep into Russian territory. Ukrainian and Russian delegations arriving in Turkey today for round two of direct peace talks. America's listening. Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 71 degrees, partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Two people were shot during a children's dance recital at the Sanger Theater in Mobile yesterday. One man was taken to the hospital with what appeared to be life-threatening injuries. A woman that was not a part of the situation but was seated nearby was also shot and wounded in the leg. Witnesses described a scuffle before the shots were fired. The theater at the time, of course, filled with children and families. Mobile police say a suspect has turned himself in. 9th Avenue between Carpenters Creek and Royce Street are back open today. PPD says the road reopened over the weekend after being closed since Wednesday due to a water main rupture. A Texas man is facing charges after allegedly leaving his dog in a hot car while he went to the beach in Walton County. Deputies say 26-year-old Andy Matute Villatoro has been charged with animal cruelty. County officials say that several reports were received of a small dog that had been left in a hot car on Scenic Golf Drive. The vehicle was not running. The windows were reportedly only slightly cracked. Deputies opened the vehicle up with a lockout kit. The Yorkie was removed from the vehicle and given water. The temperature inside that vehicle was reportedly 120 degrees. The dog was wearing a collar with the owner's number. Deputies called, and Villatoro showed up later. He was then arrested on animal cruelty charges. An Escambia County man was arrested with a trafficking amount of fentanyl after being caught eating blueberries at a local Walmart. 44-year-old Brian Flanagan was arrested on several charges earlier this month. According to an arrest report, he'd been seen by employees at the Mobile Highway store eating a package of blueberries. Video showed him dispose of that package, go through the self-checkout, not pay for them. Deputies then searched Flanagan. They found him with 11 grams of fentanyl, other drugs, and paraphernalia. He's being held on $534,000 bond for drug and theft charges. The Atlantic hurricane season has officially begun.
There are normally 14 named storms during the six-month period that begins on June 1st, including three major hurricanes. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says it expects between 13 and 19 named storms this year, and that up to 10 of them could become hurricanes. It expects at least three of them to become major hurricanes, with winds topping 110 miles per hour. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. A former congressman expected now to run for governor, David Jolly, told the South Florida Sun Sentinel over the weekend that he could formally announce this week he's running for the Democratic nomination in 2026. He used to be a Republican, left the party, became an independent in 2018, then became a Democrat 2 months ago. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with a small 10% chance of a stray shower. Most of us looking at sunny skies. High today near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Very similar day for that Tuesday with mostly sunny skies. Just a small 10% chance of rain. High near 88. By Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 71 degrees right now. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Chance for you, cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine just on the night, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a fire.
Good morning, 537 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Bunch of things that are just very interesting things that have happened over the weekend. One is, did you see this drone attack that the Ukrainians conducted against Russia? Inside Russia, all over Russia, air bases all over, like, well east of Moscow. Like, this coordinated attack, more than 100 drones that they used. And they say they think they have destroyed more than 40 military aircraft, about a third of the strategic bomber force of the Russians. Nuclear bombers. Like, that's what they think they have. Now, you know, it's interesting. Russia's description of this is not exactly in agreement with Ukraine's, of course. Russia, well noted for its truth in reporting. But they're calling it Russia's Pearl Harbor. Yeah, so what they did is apparently they put drones. And so they had agents inside Russia staged at places like little huts or trucks outside of airport perimeters. And then they would have sometimes remote activated, I guess. They would basically pull back the roof, launch the drone. The drone would go up, and then the drone would bomb or shoot these planes and cause them to burn or, I guess, blow up. Some of the video that I saw was, you know, they were blowing up. And they say that this may be a $6 to $7 billion amount of damage to the strategic bomber force of Russia. Russia's response, Russian Defense Ministry tells TASS, TASS is the Russian state agency for news, today the Kyiv regime staged a terror attack. Terror attack? You know, I don't know. To me, words matter. And terrorism is a category of behavior in which you target civilians, not military targets, and you target them for the purpose of creating fear and stress, and you do it without any recognition of the rules of warfare. In, you know, specifically, you typically will target women and children, but it can be anything civilian. So there's literally no definition of terrorism that would fit this. A guy using a flamethrower against elderly people assembling to express their concern about hostages kept in Israel. That's terrorism. A group of Ukrainian spies conducting an attack against specifically military targets in which no people were killed, it looks like nobody was killed in this, is the exact opposite of terrorism. That's, what's the word for that? Warfare! That's actually what that's called, is warfare. So anyway, today the Kyiv regime staged a terror attack with the use of FPV drones on airfields in the Murmansk, Irkutsk, Ivanovo, Ryazan, and Amur regions. All terror attacks on military airfields in the Ivanovo, Ryazan, and Amur regions were repelled. So again, the Russians, not the most well-known for truth in advertising, but still, that's what they said in response. The SBU, Ukraine's Domestic Security Agency, claimed responsibility. One Ukrainian security official says the agency loaded up drones into wooden sheds near the perimeter of the impacted air bases. The sheds had remote-controlled mechanisms to pull back the roof and allow the drones to launch. It took them over a year and a half to put this together. Remember the Israeli cell phone operation where terrorist cell phones were blowing up and killing terrorists? And you thought, man, that's just not a one-day operation. Well, same thing here. This is not a one-day operation. Vladimir Zelensky writes on X, head of the security service of Ukraine, Vasily Maluk, delivered a report regarding today's operation. Absolutely brilliant result. A result achieved solely by Ukraine. 1 year, 6 months, and 9 days from the start of planning to effective execution. Our most long-range operation, our people involved in preparing the operation were withdrawn from Russian territory in time. Journalist writes on X, Murtaza Hussein, the FPV drones were reportedly launched from trucks parked inside Russian territory and deployed from the top of removable roofs. Despite losing territory to Russian advances in recent months, the Ukrainian, what is UA? I'm not sure what that stands for. Anyway, UA has pulled off a modern Pearl Harbor brace for serious retaliation. And that's what we all expect. Yeah, good for them. I mean, they are continuing multiple years in now, repelling an invasion by a foreign force inside their own territory. And they went and conducted an activity and an action that destroyed Russian bombers on the tarmacs at a distance. Good. You know, I thought that some of the restrictions against Ukraine being able to retaliate within Russia were ridiculous. I mean, if Russia invades you, if a country invades you, and then you're not allowed to shoot munitions back into their territory. Remember, Russia's been attacking Ukraine this whole time, civilians included, in what I would actually describe as terrorism. But they have been, you know, attacking non-military targets and doing all kinds of horrible things. And the Ukrainians, it's like they can't fight back. There have been some allowances for them to fight back inside Russian territory, but that was always a ridiculous restriction to me. If you're at war, you're at war. And the invader is the one least allowed to be protected by the rule. I mean, there's no justification for terrorism. And the reason is because terrorism never is more likely to produce peace. Like, the reason for war, people don't talk about this a lot, but, you know, the idea of a just war, there's two elements to it. One is that it's the war itself is just. And just wars come to, the basic justification of war is that it is going to produce peace in the end. You can't wage war just to wage war. You can't wage war to conquer territory, whatever. You're waging war in order, typically, to defend against an invasion or an attack, and the idea is to achieve peace in the end. warfare is justified because it achieves peace, saves lives. The second question is the way the war is conducted, or the justice of the war fair. And that's a matter of means. You know, what are you allowed and not allowed to do? And you think of things like the Geneva Convention, conduct of war, including things like not targeting civilians, proportionate response. If they launch a rocket at you and you send 10 nukes to them, that's disproportionate response. There's all kinds of elements to just war theory in terms of, you know, how you conduct the warfare. And so the war can be justified and the warfare can be unjust. They can both be just. They can both be unjust. It's kind of a mix and match. But in order for you to be justified, they have to both be done properly. So in this case, Russia isn't engaged in an illegal war, and they're using illegal means. The Ukrainians are engaged in a legal war, and they are using, I would say, generally legal, but perhaps sometimes illegal means. I wouldn't say that it's not possible. There are some that are illegal. You can't do everything, even in a just war. But this is a completely legal attack because it is against military targets. It's got discrimination, which means that it's separating between civilian and non-civilian. It's proportionate, certainly, given the level of attacks that have been done against Ukraine over the years. It is very specific to a military target. So, and it is aimed at achieving peace by, you know, destabilizing the military capability of Russia to do really horrible things. So, you know, this is a 100% to me acceptable. 545 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
But Father, I'm alive, see? I'm real. I'm a real boy!
Oh, man, I listen to Bob Marley all day. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Let's see here. The White House says new trade deal with China is now on the way. Economic advisor Kevin Hassett says that their team is laser-focused. Did I get it right?
Nicely done.
All right. And expects President Trump to update his tariff plan this week. A salmonella outbreak linked to cucumbers apparently is now growing. At least 45 people in 18 states are now sick. 16 people have been put in the hospital due to this. The FDA says Target is the latest retailer to pull products, including Boar's Head Greek-style chicken salad and My Brand Sushi. All cases are tied to cucumbers from Bednar Growers, distributed by Fresh Start Produce.
Well, that's why I don't buy cucumber-containing sushi from Target. I mean, for years, that's been my policy.
That's a good policy. Absolutely, yeah. And let's see here. A house party apparently turned violent in North Carolina over the weekend, leaving one person dead and 11 others hurt. That happened Sunday near Hickory, which is about 60 miles to the northeast of Charlotte. Authorities say dozens of shots were fired in that incident. They believe more than one shooter was involved. And so far, they haven't made any arrests.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 549, News Radio 92.3. If you are taking a look at that next vehicle and trying to decide what to get, start at Frontier Motors. You may not end there. I mean, you know, I don't know whether you're going to buy a car from them or not, but I do know that they're a great resource. They have a lot of good quality used cars, cars that are, you know, 10 to 40,000 miles is kind of their sweet spot, cars that have had one owner typically that are maybe a year to 4 years young. They're going to warranty it for 10 years or 100,000 miles, so you know you're going to get a good car. It's going to last a while, and they will follow up. I mean, one of the things that I still to this day I think is amazing, I'm surprised more people don't do it. You know, a lot of the stuff that, like, the better, I don't know, entities do, it's not that hard to do, but they do it and others don't, right? And Frontier, one of the things they did with me is when we bought our Odyssey, they followed up with me 6 months later and said, hey, is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, no, it's fine. Why are you bothering me? You know, I bought the car, you know, and Calvin was super sweet. He's like, all right, cool. And then a year, like 6 months after that, he called me again. He said, is there anything wrong with the car? And, you know, I'm like, well, one of the keys doesn't work, but it's a used car. You know, I expect not everything to be perfect. Well, no, come in. We'll replace it. I'm like, I bet you will, and it'll cost me $150. He's like, no, it's on us. You bought a used car expecting everything to work. You get a used car with everything that works. I'm like, the what? So I did it. A year after we bought the car, it was not the fob. The fob worked fine, but the physical key. I took the car in, and they replaced it at their cost. No charge whatsoever. It took about 10 minutes, and we had a working key. Who does this? Well, the reason they do it is because they're not trying to just sell you one time and hope to never hear from you again because you don't even bother complaining. They're hoping you're thrilled, and they go out of their way to make sure you're thrilled. So they'll find out, you know, they'll actually call and ask, hey, are you happy afterwards? That's why I want to go back again and again and again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John, you know the tech park downtown?
Right.
Let's just call it the green space with the sign that claims a certain identity that... Let's say it's a green space that identifies as a tech park, okay? You call me tech park. Are you? Really?
Really?
No, not really. But for years, this has been the... it's not an eyesore because it's actually pretty well maintained. It is a philosophical eyesore because everybody looks at it and thinks... empty. Nothing. You know, nice green space, but, you know, empty. Anyway, well, apparently, and there has been many times over the years that there have been rumors of things happening there, but Florida West came, and this is actually, I apologize, this is from 2 months ago, but I just haven't had a chance to get this on the air, and I thought it was so interesting. Not interesting enough to beat anything else out over 2 months, but still very interesting. They were talking about the tech park. Mike Kohler, chairman of the Escambia County Commission, and Chris Plate, who is the CEO for Florida West.
I just have a question. I know we talked not too long ago that there was potential, and I know we don't get into details, but there were potentially some folks that wanted to move in the tech park.
Yes, sir.
Is that still moving forward? Okay.
Yes, we met with them last week, and we've also just signed the documents to get Geotech started so we can understand what's in the dirt and soil to see what size buildings we can support on the soil as it is versus heavier foundations. We're doing appraisals as well, so we're moving forward.
Okay, so I'm glad we're doing some assessment to figure out what the ground can support. Now? After all these years? We've never done Geotech on that site before? Oh, good Lord. Okay, this is not a criticism of anybody who is currently on the dais. Well, I mean, you know, there's a couple of commissioners that have been there for a while, but, you know, how did this not get done previously? Okay, fine. Anyway, Chris Plate is doing it now. Florida West is doing it now or looking for funds to do it now.
Going forward on the Geotech is just, you know, PEDC board approved that to move forward to go ahead and getting just data on the soil to see.
That's all we're doing because there's no concept at this point. No.
It's just basically you say look at the potential pads, roughly a 30,000 square foot four plate. Do borings within those that are much deeper, about 30 feet, and then we'll do about 10 foot borings throughout the site to kind of get a good grasp of what's the foundation capability of that soil.
And all the studies will probably be commenced by the time you get to brick and mortar or.
I'm staying in.
I said the studies will probably have already commenced by the time you start building.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, the geotech will be done in a month or less, hopefully. And so they're going to be scheduling the drilling rigs out there, hopefully for the next week or so. And so after that, we'll have that data.
And you're doing geotech to see it, I'm sorry. You're doing that for the saw bearings?
To see what the weight, is it a two-story, three-story? What's the height that that soil will bear? As well as any other things, any other mystery that's in the dirt that could affect the price of what the buildings will be.
I can't believe this hasn't been done before. Like, it's just, so we've got this parcel that's got all this, you know, preparatory infrastructure put in place and all of this federal grant money. That's the reason we can't put other things there is because it has to be within certain parameters. Otherwise, we owe clawbacks on these grants. And that's why nothing's been built there, is because the things that had been on the verge of being going there, like App River back in the day was supposed to go there. And then it's a long story about why that didn't happen. But the short, you know, the short version is it didn't. And so ever since, we've had this undeveloped, vacant, hey, do something. And again, this sounds like criticism of the county, and maybe in some way it is, but it's not a criticism of anybody like right now, because they're actually doing it. But how did this not happen before? Lumen May asking the same question. And remember, he's a, you know, he's a construction guy, right? He's in, he builds houses and stuff.
Steve, I've never served on the PEDC, but it seems to me we've had that land for 20 plus years with anticipation of building, and no one has never did any saw bearings or, you know, any study to see could you build on it.
Yeah, I can only speak for the last 3 months.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
well,
but I was,
trust me, it's not you. I mean, it's a frustration of funding.
Yeah, we went back into the files and could not find active geotech data. Well, if it's there, it's buried or lost.
Well,
so now I can see circumstances where maybe you wouldn't do geotech on all of it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, like, think OLF-8, okay? That's going to be on the agenda for Thursday. They're going to vote on whether to sell it to the Chad Henderson Group. And you know, there's a lot of time between now and then to find out what else is going on here. But, you know, that's a massive property. You wouldn't just randomly go do geotech everywhere because that's kind of expensive. And, you know, some places are going to be parks and some places are going to be streets and you don't have to do it. So I get it, but it just seems amazing to me that in all this time we haven't gone and inspected the property to know what could be developed on the property that was specifically built to be developed as a property. 5:56 on News Radio. John, am I missing? It's too obvious? Okay. All right. Well, just...
Nope.
Just
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I'll just move on. 437-1620. Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits that you have to provide or get to provide, obviously they're important for attracting good talent, very important for keeping good talent, and certainly you want to make sure you have good benefits at a good price. Right, that's always the trade-off, right? You can have anything you want if you're willing to pay enough for it. So you have to provide health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, manage HR, you got to manage payroll, and maybe you have a good system right now. Maybe you don't have a good system. I don't know. Everybody's different. I know here at News Radio in Cat Country, we had an okay system, and then we switched to Torgerson Causey in 2021, and I didn't know it could be this good. Like, I mean, they're not miracle workers, okay? The market is what it is. But within that market, they go find the best plans, best alternatives, save us money, give us choices we didn't have before. And essentially, one of the big things is customer service, because you know, a lot of people don't really think about the implications of their health insurance until like they need it. My wife is a planner. She's an industrial engineer. So she thinks about these things a lot. And she asks questions. What about this? What about this? And well, most of the time, insurance people are salespeople and they don't really have answers because they're salespeople. They're not, you know, detailed. They're not accountants. They're not, you know, I don't know, actuarials, they're not engineers. But these folks are really, they have good answers. And Reed always either knows or he goes and finds out and gives a call back. So she's very satisfied with them. They're fantastic. More than 20 years helping local businesses handle their benefits. No obligation for them to look over what you're doing. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody texts in. Let's see. Tech Park like OLF-8 is an albatross around taxpayers' necks. Both projects are kind of odoriferous. That's stinky. It's so stupid to not be sure of the stability of the ground at the Tech Park. Yeah, I think that's amazing. Somebody says, you want incompetence? Ask me about the Superfund site on Palafox. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I know the site, okay? I don't know the history well enough, but I know that has been one of these, like, we can build on it. Why hasn't it been developed? But I have these questions about a lot of properties around town. And actually, the The current, in case you weren't aware, the Superfund site is the big empty the wood treating facility over on Palafox, right? You're driving up and you see this giant field, that. And vaguely north of Fairfield. North of Fairfield or south of Fairfield? All of a sudden, I think it's north. Anyway, there's several Superfund sites around town, right? There's several of them. Anyway, this is one. And what's supposed to go there now, tentative, fingers crossed, is the fire training center for Escambia County Fire Rescue is supposed to go there. Maybe. We'll see if that happens, but that's what's supposed to go there. I think of like the old site. This is not a Superfund site. This is just a vacant site over in front of the jail on Fairfield and Pace that had all the strip mall there and the, I always forget the home style kitchen. What was the name of the place that was out there? The restaurant that was in front of there. Homestead Kitchen. Anyway, when I see these places, I think, man, there's so much stuff that can be built and developed, and we just don't have it for whatever reason. And in the case of the tech part, maybe because we didn't find out what you could build there. So, coming up next, a good news story in the city of Pensacola, an athletic facility. Streamer.